the Antoinette system and tune in to the Pearl White system at radioarian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 14th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I've got some really good news to begin with today, for once. Jiz Turner has been released from prison. I don't know any more than that. I hope he hasn't been put under these awful restrictions where you're not allowed to talk to any other patriots, not allowed to give any interviews, and all these restrictions that Jada Franson is currently under. I know that he wanted to do his full sentence rather than be released early and have all these restrictions. So the fact that he has been released, maybe that says that he hasn't got these restrictions. Certainly hope so. Anyway, it's great news that he's been out. Anyway, getting back to today's programme. The first story that I've got for us today is really just highlighting the ridiculousness of the hate crime legislation and who it's been used against. An elderly woman investigated on suspicion of a hate crime after beeping her horn at another car said she has trouble sleeping at night following the experience. Last week, Jane Savage, 69, went public to say that she was the person who'd honked her horn when a driver took ages and blocked her car at a petrol station in High Wycombe, Buckinghamshire, in May 2015. The driver she tooted at happened to be black, and Thames Valley Police were forced to quiz the pensioner under current hate crime laws. Now think about that. This is way back there in 2015. That is 3 years ago. And the remit of these hate crime laws, the amount of people that they're going after, has massively increased since then. And all this woman did was beep her horn. She didn't use any racial slurs. She didn't do anything that was racist. She just beeped her horn. And the guy she beeped her horn at happened to be black. So this is the way that these laws are being used. What they've effectively done is create a class that cannot be touched. They've split our society into classes that have special privileges, non-whites, ethnic minorities, sexual minorities. They have special privileges and special rights that the rest of us don't have. This elderly woman, she could not have, if she was beeped at, she couldn't have gone to the police and said, this was a hate crime, somebody beeped at me. The law, we are no longer all equal under the law. She said, I pulled in behind a car that had finished pumping. As the driver was in the car, I had no idea of the sex, age, race or religion of the person, Miss Savage told the Sunday Times. She said the incident has led her to stop doing charitable work because she's worried that anyone doing a background check on her might uncover the fact she'd been quizzed over a racial hate crime. So she's terrified of being stigmatised as a racist, because she was investigated for this. Now, I dare say she probably thinks this is an anomaly and it shouldn't have happened, but this is a regular occurrence that people are being accused of being racist when they're not actually racist, when they don't have any racial thoughts in their heads whatsoever. And they're just treating people equally. And what these hate crime laws are about, they don't want people to be treated equally. Negroes and other ethnic minorities are to be raised up into a privileged position where they are a privileged class in our country. And they are even asked if they want to report hate crime when they report any crime that's against them. And if the crime has been carried out by a white man, then of course they're going to say it's a hate crime. He uttered a racial slur while he was doing it, because they know that that is going to increase the penalties. So we have extra penalties for foreigners in our country being harmed than if the actual indigenous people in the country are being harmed. Now, who would ever think up a law that actually penalised the people of its own country? The logic behind that tells us that it has to be somebody else that's not actually part of our country. It has to be an alien force that is occupying our governments and making laws to benefit other aliens, rather than making laws to benefit the indigenous people of the country. They're making laws to penalise the indigenous people of the country, particularly elderly people who aren't very politically correct because they're normal and they haven't been brainwashed. And they're the ones that are on the receiving end of this. Anthony Stansfield, the police commissioner for Thames Valley, expressed his frustrations with current laws which forced his unit to question Savage, who he called a pillar of the community. And this is the interesting thing as well. Every one of these hate crime allegations has to be investigated by the police. And yet, when people are robbed, the police are told that they do not have to investigate it unless they think there's going to be a definite conviction. So the majority of times now, when somebody's been burgled or robbed or mugged, the police do not even bother to investigate it. Yet when it comes to an allegation that somebody may have done something out of discrimination, they may have discriminated against somebody, they have to investigate it. And what is discrimination? Discrimination is telling the difference between wrong and right. We discriminate between what is good for us and what is bad for us. And the more we discriminate, the more we narrow down our preferences, the more we learn. That's what learning is all about, is learning to discriminate between one thing and another. Discrimination is it's at the root of all learning. And we've made it illegal to discriminate between certain things. The commissioner, that's Anthony Stansfield, covers the Thames Valley area, which contains the counties of Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire. Probably not that many non-whites in those counties, I would guess. Savage said she was upset that the incident was recorded as a racially aggravated public order offence, despite the fact the other woman told officers it wasn't a hate crime. So there's nothing there to show that it was racially aggravated. All she did was beep a horn. But because the so-called victim said that this was racist, it was recorded as racist. And this woman's got no way to prove that it wasn't racism. It was just that she didn't want to be blocked in by this person in a car. And racially aggravated public order offence, I mean, that sounds like there's been some violence. Not just somebody has beeped their horn. Savage told the paper, "My father was a tutor to overseas students. For me to be called a racist is horrible. I don't trust anybody now. That's awful, isn't it?" Yes, it is awful. That's the way the country is heading. She has won support from her local MP, Dominic Grieve QC, the former Attorney General. In an email to Thames Valley Police, seen by the Sunday Times, Grieve said, "The current position is that she has been told by Thames Valley Police that as long as she does not come to the attention of the police in future, it is most unlikely that any reference would be made to this record, even if an enhanced check were carried out into her. This, however, does not remove the taint that she considers arises upon her from the way this so-called offence has been recorded." Thames Valley Police said it had now reclassified the incident as a hate-related incident, rather than a crime. Is that any better that she's got a hate-related incident written down on her record? This elderly woman that's never done anybody any harm, never even got a police record. The police themselves probably don't believe that there was any hate involved in this whatsoever. But because it was an ethnic minority that reported it, then the person is instantly guilty. Instantly guilty. All the ethnic minority has to do is point the finger And if it's a white person they're pointing the finger at, then the white person has committed an offence. And this is really something that needs dealing with. You can understand the reasoning why they brought these laws in, the way it was explained to them, that it would prevent attacks upon ethnic minorities, it would prevent violent attacks on them if we can stop them before they happen. But that's not what the effect of this is. The effect of this is to criminalise everybody that's white and give a legal weapon to everybody that's non-white that they can only use against white people. This really does need to be sorted out. Next story that I've got for us today is really a continuation from what went on at the weekend with the remembrance services for the Armistice Day for 100 years after World War One. And all these politicians have come out of the woodwork to attack nationalism. Basically because Donald Trump the week before said, "I am a nationalist. What is wrong with being a nationalist? What is wrong with standing up for your nation and doing what is best for your nation and your country?" And this is what I don't understand. I do not understand how anybody can think that nationalism is wrong. It is the nationalists that are speaking up for you. If you are British, we have nobody speaking up for us. If you had a British nationalist, that means that that person is going to be putting the needs of the British people ahead of everybody else. That's what it means. It means you put your people first. And if you are not putting your people first, who is? Who is going to put your needs first? If you don't put them first yourself, if you don't go out and work for a living and provide food for yourself, nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to bring it round for you and do everything for you. You have to do it for yourself. And it's the same for the nation. If you don't put the needs of your nation first, your nation will be destroyed. And this is what we are seeing happening around us. We're being told that we should be putting the needs of everybody else first. That's not possible. You cannot put the needs of somebody else first without neglecting your own needs. And none of these other nations are encouraged to put white people first. They're not encouraged to put white people first in India or in Africa. They put themselves first, and quite rightly too. And if we had every nation putting their needs first, we would have a much better world than we are living in today, because the resources of that nation would be directed towards that nation, and it would encourage growth. It would encourage people to be given what they need to develop their talents. And we would end up with the very best people in the nation, getting all the resources put towards them, and they would create some incredible things. And instead, what we have is all our resources are being aimed at the underachievers, who are also foreign, who will never achieve great heights anyway. It's an absolute waste of resources. Everybody should be supporting nationalists. And yet these politicians, these globalist politicians, are speaking out against it. Populist sentiment poses a fundamental threat to the European Union. European Council President Donald Tusk has said, proclaiming next year's elections a battleground between pro-sovereignty brown shirts and plans for a globalist superstate ruled from Brussels. I wonder how the civic nationalists feel about being called brown shirts. Some of them are particularly anti-Nazi. In an interview with Gazeta Wyborcza Saturday, the Polish politician attacked US President Donald Trump for lacking sufficient enthusiasm over the prospect of a united and strong Europe, before comparing conservative political movements in the EU to National Socialist paramilitary forces from the 1930s. I mean, how can you say that Donald Trump doesn't want a united and strong Europe? Donald Trump supports the sovereignty of the nations in Europe and wants to see a stop to the invasion of Europe by the Third World. Being against the EU is something completely different. Being against the EU means you want to protect the nations of Europe from being turned into one global territory that anyone from anywhere in the rest of the world can come to. He wants to protect the borders of the nations in Europe. And of course, if we protect our borders, then we can be united. We can unite. And we are seeing unification between the nationalist countries of Europe. That's what this is really about. They know that their cards are marked. They know that their time is up, these EU globalist politicians. It cannot be ruled out that there will be two streams represented, one in the colours of the brown shirts, anti-European and focused on nationalism, and the second, which wants to push as much as possible for EU integration, he told the liberal George Soros-backed newspaper. Nationalists are not anti-European. We wish to preserve the European genomes. We wish to preserve the diversity of the European nations. And this nonsense about the EU putting Europe first, how can it be putting Europe first to dilute the genome and turn Europeans into Africans? That's what he means by EU integration. He means European Union integration with Africa and the Middle East, biological integration. Tusk repeated these remarks later in the day at an event in Lodz, Poland, where he grouped together pro-Brexit sentiment, Europeans who support Brexit, those who are enthusiastic about Washington's steps towards isolationism, and those who are pro-Russia, warning that there was no coincidence that these groups tended to be sceptical of plans for a federal EU superstate. The problem is that today, those who are cheering on nationalism in Europe, those who are betting on disintegration and conflict, will inevitably lead to an absolutely fundamental threat, he said. We are trying to prevent there being conflict. We can see the conflict on the streets already. We can see the grooming gangs. We can see the terrorism. We can see the increase in stabbings, muggings, shootings and acid attacks. We know what is causing it, and we want to prevent that. What Donald Tusk wants is to increase that. And the only fundamental threat that's coming up is a fundamental threat to politicians like him when we win the polls in the European Union next year. Speaking at what German state broadcaster Deutsche Welle described as a gathering of intellectuals and politicians in the city, the former Prime Minister of Poland also called on the country to overthrow the Law and Justice Party. I mean, how about that for treason? The former Prime Minister of Poland is calling for Poland to overthrow the legitimately elected government. And he was claiming the Conservative government, which has previously been denounced by the New York Times for its virulent anti-communism and consisted of present-day Bolsheviks. And that's amazing, that, isn't it? Virulent anti-communism. That's pretty much an admission that communism is Jewish, isn't it? I mean, it's always virulent anti-Semitism. And what's wrong with being anti-communist? The Civic Platform figure's latest rantings against populism came after he lashed out at Viktor Orban while speaking at the European People's Party Congress in Helsinki last week. In a thinly veiled reference to the Hungarian leader, who earlier this year promised his government was replacing a shipwrecked liberal democracy with a 21st century Christian democracy, Tusk blasted that no one has the right to attack liberal democracy and its foundations. Nobody has the right to criticise liberal democracy. And these guys pretend that we all have freedom of speech and that the human rights was about giving freedom of speech to everyone. Yet we don't have the right to attack progressivism, according to him. And of course, it's not just him. In a speech at the Paris Peace Forum, German Chancellor Angela Merkel attacked nationalism and warned against destructive isolationism. We know that most of the challenges and threats of today can no longer be solved by one nation alone, but only if we act together. That's why we have to stand up for this kind of collaboration, the German Chancellor said. Nationalists are not saying that we cannot work with other nations. Nationalists are saying that we must put our nation's needs first. And if we do that, then that's not a competition with other nations, is it? It means that we can collaborate because we are all going to be putting our needs first. We're all on a level playing field then. Close international cooperation on the basis of shared values that are enshrined in the United Nations charters. This is the only way to overcome the horrors of the past and pave a new future, she continued to tell the audience of the Paris Forum. But those UN charters are a lie, as we just heard there. We just heard Donald Tusk blasting that no one has the right to attack liberal democracy and its foundations. So that UN charter about having free speech, there is no free speech in Europe, and they're trying to do the same in America. The Chancellor's speech can be seen as another attack on American President Donald Trump, who said at a rally he is a nationalist and that there is nothing wrong with nationalism. Merkel's inauguration speech at the Paris Peace Forum came just hours after she and other world leaders attended the commemoration of World War I, which ended 100 years ago. In his speech at the World War I ceremony, French President Macron also attacked Trump by saying that nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism. Well, Macron actually went a lot further than that. Macron actually said that nationalists were traitors. I mean, just how far have we come when they can claim that nationalists are traitors? And to be a traitor means treason to your king, your country, and your nation. Nationalists are the ones standing up for their nation. The traitors are the globalists that have sold our sovereignty to bankers. Macron is the traitor. I mean, just the audacity of this man to claim that nationalists are traitors. Just unbelievable. It's a good job he's losing spectacularly in the polls at the moment. And just before we finish, let's have a look at some polls, shall we? Fresh polling shows a massive surge in support for anti-mass migration populist parties in France, Italy, and Hungary, with the pro-sovereignty parties now leading their rivals going into next year's European Parliament election. A Hungarian national poll released earlier this week, conducted by Median, shows Fidesz, the party of Prime Minister Viktor Orbán, to have creased their already huge lead over their rivals to a total score of 63%, with the second most popular party, Jobbik, at a mere 11%. Now, Merkel and Macron and May would dearly love to be that popular. They would dearly love to have 63% of the country voting for them, but they don't. They all have disapproval ratings that are probably that high. And yet they claim that Viktor Orban is a threat to democracy. Most of his country approves of him, obviously. That's how democracy should work. It shouldn't be everybody fighting against one another. It should be everybody voting for who is doing the best for them. And Viktor Orban is obviously doing what's best for his country. And by doing what's best for his country, he is also doing what is best for Europe. In Italy, the popularity of populist Interior Minister Matteo Salvini continues to see the League dominate the polls, where the party has consistently outperformed their coalition partners, the Five Star Movement, since July. And don't forget, the Five Star Movement actually won the majority of the vote in the elections. But since the Nationalist Party, since the League have been in coalition with the Five Star Movement, the League's popularity has gone through the roof. Because they've taken a stand to stop the immigration and increase the births of white Italians. Salvini has been shown to be the most trusted politician in Italy, according to a poll from the Giorno newspaper released in July, and a Noto poll shows the League at 31%, 4 points ahead of the Five Star Movement at 27%, and 13% ahead of the mainstream Democratic Party. In France, the popularity of President Emmanuel Macron has plummeted in recent months to an all-time low of only 21%. One in five, that's all, in a poll released last week. The drop in popularity has also had a knock-on effect on Macron's La République en Marche, which has now trailing behind the populist Rassemblement National, the National Rally, the RN, led by presidential runner-up Marine Le Pen. That's the new name for the National Front, the National Rally. The next major elections for all three countries will come in May next year, when the members of the European Union vote in the next European Parliament election. An e-Labe poll for the Parliament election also shows the Rally National with a slight lead over Macron's LREM. So both Hungary, Italy, and France are looking like they're going to have nationalist representatives in the EU. Obviously, Poland will as well, Austria, and maybe a few other countries, Slovakia, maybe a few other countries by the time. This is what Donald Tusk is worried about. This is what these globalist politicians are worried about. They are worried, very worried, that their time is up. And their time is up because we cannot allow this to continue any longer. We have to save our people. We have to save the white race. And the only way to do that is to get nationalist politicians in and start repatriating all the people that thought they could just invade our countries and take all our wealth. They need to be sent back. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory. We'll be right back.